welcome to episode 78 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. This is Eric Bartoski. Joining me from Minnesota, Alan Olson.
Hey, Eric, how you doing?
See, I got it right this time. Minnesota, not Wisconsin or anything.
Minnesota, Wisconsin. They're
Michigan,
both cold. Ooh, that might be hitting below the belt. No offense to our fans that live in Michigan.
Well, plenty of offense to them, but it's all coming from Alan, so. we got 2 weeks of show to do here. Not much happened, really. Honestly, in the past 2 weeks, but Steve Lowry outdueled Vijay Singh down the stretch. Vijay held the lead most of the afternoon, but was unable to cap off the win and then loses in a playoff.
Yeah, was it more of Steve Lowry winning, Vijay Singh losing? I mean, watching Singh implode was painful.
Yeah, and Vijay has been working on his new swing now since the middle of last year, and it's not his old swing. And it's not, I'm not sure it's really coming around for him. He was laid off a lot, so he wanted to correct that, but now he's almost across the line, pointing right of his target, it seems. And he really wasn't as accurate as you would expect Vijay Singh to be, and he never looked really very comfortable. So he made lots of small mistakes that led to pars that should have been birdies, or bogeys that should have been pars, at least, so.
Yeah, it's been pretty wild, the PGA Tour so far. Well, PGA Tour and the European Tour, the only person that can close the deal on Sunday is Tiger. Ernie can't, Phil. Yeah. Well, Phil did, but he kind of faltered, and Vijay didn't, so I don't know. I mean, these guys that used to be, I guess for the most part, almost automatic in winning aren't sealing the deal anymore.
No, they're losing to guys like Steve Lowry.
Exactly.
They're also losing the girls on the LPGA Tour, like Annika Sorensen, putting to rest probably early this year, the whole, will she regain her top form? You know, this is the year she's recommitted. Last year she had a neck injury, the year before that, divorce and stuff. You know, it's been a bad 2 or 3 years here. Lorena Cho, of course, has surged on to take over the number one spot, but Annika Sorensen winning the SBS Open, her 70th on the LPGA Tour. A few more to go until she gets to the lead is, what, like 86 or something like that, 88?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, Kathy Whitworth, I think. So she's still got a long ways to go before she gets there, but 70, and, you know, if she can win 4 or 5 a year for the next several years.
She's got a chance at it. It's just whether or not she wants to stay out there for the next few years as opposed to other business interests or raising a family or whatnot.
Yeah, is she going to regain the number one spot, or is this, you know, is she going to return to, you know, a solid number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, somewhere in there?
I would say probably a solid 2, 3, or 4.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to get back on top either, but I was one of the first people, I think, that said that she was perhaps on the way down and it was going to be replaced. So, of course, my prediction was helped with the neck injury and things like that, but one of the few times in my life I've been right, so I'm sticking to it.
Very nice.
I'm going to milk it for all it's worth. But congratulations, Annika Sorensen. And, you know, we'll see how the rest of this year goes, because she certainly got off on the right foot. Phil Mickelson did not get off on the right foot this year, but has righted the ship, so to speak. In fact, had we done the podcast last week, we would have talked about Phil Mickelson making an 11 on one hole. Avoid talking about that this week for the most part, because he holds off and wins at Riviera, a place where Tiger Woods has never won and lately hasn't played.
Yeah, it's, you know, there again, Mickelson had, a 2 or 3 shot lead at one point.
And yeah, and he won by 2 in the end. So it's tough to say whether it was a matter of him holding on or the other guys just not making a charge. And, you know, it's a bit of both. Phil looked like he was in control, but Jeff Quinney made a bogey at 17 that was costly. Padraig Harrington, Luke Donald, the other guys, they weren't really in the picture all day. So
no, it was a 2-man race. But right. Yeah, I mean, Phil definitely made it interesting by spraying it all over the place.
Indeed. I don't have much to say. It's interesting. He does look much thinner.
Mm-hmm. He does. Looks like he's
been... Yeah, it's the first time we really got a good look at that, his waistline. He's apparently laid off the Haagen-Dazs. And thankfully, we didn't need to see his kids run out onto the green. This is like the first time in quite a long time that's not happened.
Yep.
No more of his little boy dressed like the Dutch painter kid from the...
Yeah, hopefully they've got him... Got his wardrobe figured out.
Well, congratulations to Phil. It's not going to happen that he's going to get anywhere near Tiger's lead, but, you know, people will talk about it all they can, I'm sure. So
yeah, I mean, he you know, he won an event. There was a lot of big players were there, and he built up a pretty commanding lead and then hung on.
He secured his right to skip Kapalua next year.
Absolutely.
We'll skip out on you for a second, but we'll be right back after this message from Titleist, so stay tuned.
I'm working on making everything I look at
something new all the time.
Winning my first major.
Another green jacket.
Working on my signature.
Hitting it this close.
Chest to the target.
Staying positive after every shot.
More wins.
More birdies.
More eagles.
Just having more fun.
Beating the rest of these guys.
I'm working on a bunch of stuff.
Thinking less.
I'm not telling.
Even the world's best want to be better. That's why there's the new Pro V1 and Pro V1X.
Well, welcome back. Our forum topic of the week was submitted. Actually, it's a week old, but it's still getting some play on the forum. It was submitted by R7425, and it's a discussion as to which is better, the nationwide tour or the European tour. My opinion, you're comparing apples to oranges.
Yeah, I think the European tour has... I think they run a wider gamut. I think you have a lot of better players who are better, but it thins out pretty quickly. And I think the nationwide tour is their top players aren't as good, but their bottom players and their middle players are better. So you have a deeper tour on the nationwide tour. The European tour has the stars and then tails off quickly. I mean, because the European tour would kick the nationwide tour's tail in a Ryder Cup.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I mean, more than the US team.
It wouldn't even be close.
But if the Ryder Cup was played with, you know, your top 150 players on the tour, it might be close.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. I mean, you start seeing some of these scores on the bottom half of the European tour, and, you know, they've got guys that are, well, they're on tour, but as far
as... I mean, the bottom guys on those events are guys you've never heard of. Well, the bottom guys in nationwide tour events are guys that you've heard of maybe because they used to be on the PGA Tour or something. So I think the nationwide tour is a deeper tour, but the top half of the European tour would beat the top half of the nationwide tour, so...
Yeah, it's kind of hard to argue when you have Ernie Els, Patrick Harrington, Henrik Stenson, Adam Scott. Typical American stereotype, typical European stereotype. I mean, the Golf Channel shows both, so spend some time and watch both tours. And
who cares which is better? You get a choice. Watch them both.
It's all good golf.
We'll be back with more good podcasting after this break.
At the tournament you're watching now.
At the tournament you're watching now.
More players trust Titleist.
More players trust Titleist.
Trust Titleist.
More players trust Titleist.
Than all other golf balls.
Than all other.
All other golf balls.
All other golf balls combined.
And all other golf balls combined.
Okay, so we lied about the good podcasting, but we're back, so deal with it. Chambers Bay is going to have to deal with, in a good way, hosting the 2015 U.S. Open. This is a new public course. It's in the Pacific Northwest. It's not far from, you know, the abandoned dunes type area stuff. Similar kind of style, you know, a throwback kind of course. Pretty new. It gets the 2010 U.S. Amateur and the 2015 U.S. Open. So 7 years from now, we're going to Chambers Bay.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting that the USGA is going to, you know, host this at a brand new course. I mean, by then it'll have, you know, 7-8 years. But, you know, traditionally the USGA has, you know, they've got their course rotation pretty well set, and it's pretty much the same.
And yet they've done a lot to change that course rotation in the past several years, though. They've added Bethpage, a public course. You know, they went back to Oakmont after a long skip and maybe going back there in 2016 or so, so that might come around a little more frequently than the 13 years it's been on.
Right.
They're going to Torrey Pines, which may or may not work. And now they're going to Chambers Bay. They're going to Marion or whatever, right? So
they got Marion, and then, in Wisconsin, Aaron Hills is hosting the 2000-something U.S. Amateur, and there's you know,
chatter
usually
about it, yeah.
Yeah, if you host the U.S. Amateur at some point.
Even in the past several years, we've had the addition of Bethpage, Marion, and now Chambers Bay in there, too. So newer courses.
Public courses.
And not that I consider Bethpage new, but new to the rotation, certainly. You know, and I think that's good to see. You know, I don't think that, you know, if someday the old course becomes unsuitable for, you know, the Open Championship, so be it. You know, let's see some exciting new courses as well if it fits. And, you know, I'm all for more of a different style than the old Parkland style course that we see the U.S. Open played on.
Absolutely.
I'm excited. It's 7 years from now, so there's plenty that they can do to ruin or improve on Chambers Bay as a course for hosting the U.S. Open. But as of right now, I'm excited. I like to see different kinds of things played, especially, again, as we say, if the Masters is going to become the new U.S. Open.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It'd be nice to see some... it's nice to see the USGA throwing some new courses out there for us to see.
PGA Tour, the rule of 78, where, you know, if more than 78 players tie for 70th, they cut to the closest number to 70. Apparently they're bitching up a storm about this. We've talked about this a few times now. Now they may be going to a 54 hole cut in addition. So you'd keep like your 85 players or whoever tie for 70th, and then you'd cut on Saturday again to the lowest 70 in ties.
Yeah. Let's take something that's okay. It's happened a couple times. Nobody's been affected by it twice. Let's you know, it's, I don't know, this just seems kind of bizarre.
How about the lowest 70 and then you match scorecards, or the lowest 60 in ties, or if you guys all played faster, you could keep your 85 guys and not have another cut. This wasn't put in to try to speed play, but it was put in basically as a result of the PGA Tour saying, hey, if they're not going to play faster, we can't send 85 guys out on Saturday and Sunday, so we have to do something. If you guys would just play a little faster, half an hour around faster, you guys could keep your 84 or 85 guys in a cut.
Yeah, they've got to figure out something. This is starting to get a little...
It's becoming a story that shouldn't be a story. It's just stupid because nobody really cares about the guys that are barely making the cut.
Yeah, I mean, the odds of somebody barely making the cut and then...
doing anything.
Playing in the final group on Sunday? No. I mean, you know what? Don't worry about it. Play better. You don't have to worry about it. Then you'll make the cut guaranteed.
Tim Rosefort, in our second topic on this, or our second link on this topic, talks about whether it's a knee-jerk reaction, which it strikes me as, given that it's only been in effect for 6 weeks or so now, and whether or not this will actually be a solution, I don't know. I think it was ignorant of the players to not know about the rule going into this year, and I think it was ignorant of the PGA Tour to think that they could just change it now, suddenly, maybe.
Yeah, it just seems kind of odd that, you know, we're only in February, we're already changing the rule.
Yeah, I just want to see, you know what, keep the rule the way it is now, or go back to the old way of, you know, letting 70 in ties, let them all in, but enforce the slow play penalties. Say, okay, we'll keep you all. We'll go back to the way it used to be, but we're going to actually enforce slow play penalties. And I'd like to see that.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no reason a round of golf needs to take 5 hours on TV.
Please play faster.
That's our next to last story here.
Our next to last story here is entitled Trouble in the Air, and it comes from John Hawkins, and... seems to be a little bit of dissension, perhaps, in the ranks between the PGA Tour players and folks at PGA headquarters, Tour headquarters, that is.
Specifically Tim Fincham, mostly.
Yeah.
This one's mostly on the issue of the drug policy, the Golf Channel, the cut policy. It's a lot of things. The players don't like the 15-year deal they signed with the Golf Channel. The players don't like the drug testing policy. And the players don't like the cut thing. And they feel out of touch. And Tim Fincham, you know, I think they do have somewhat of a point. It's a player. He's their commissioner. He's not their boss. And a lot of what he does seems to go against the majority of what the players seem to voice. And the players have a voice through the Player Advisory Council. The Player Advisory Council seems to not necessarily consider, you know, it's a tough position they're in because they have to do what's best for the tour. But they also have to try to do what most people think is best for the tour.
Yeah.
The two may not always be the same.
No, it's definitely, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out because in the last few years, Fincham's definitely, I don't want to say crammed down their throats, but he's definitely, he's thrown some things at them that's just basically like, okay, here it is, we're moving on, here it is, we're moving on. And they don't really have much of a say.
Right, and I have trouble crediting Fincham with doing much. Tiger Woods has created the modern PGA Tour and the purses and all that. I think he could have put a lot of people in Tim Fincham's position and the tour would be at least as successful as it is now.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm not sure what he's really done besides give boring answers and cause some resentment.
Absolutely. It would be interesting to see whether or not the players, you know, band together, if you will, and form some sort of a union or, you know, because right now they're pretty much...
But see, that's the thing. A union without Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson and a few others is pointless.
Mm-hmm.
So Tiger Woods is not going to align himself with...
He's not going to align himself with anybody.
Brown. Sure.
No, he's not going to align himself with anybody, and that's kind of...
A union's not going anywhere. They have the Player Advisory Council that isn't working for them, basically. And, you know, I those guys are taking heat, too. So it'll be interesting to see how this shakes out. When you also look at the fact that if you finished 100-something on the money list last year and earned $1 million, it's tough to really give a crap what any of these guys think.
No, no.
Oh, my gosh, so you might have to pee in a cup twice a year.
Yeah. Or heaven forbid, you might have to play well enough so you can play in the FedEx Cup and make more money. Yeah, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to really feel bad for millionaires.
We'll end that one on that. Last one here, just mostly a quick question. Butch Harmon says that Adam Scott is the only young golfer who can challenge Tiger Woods. We know that's not true visually, since Jason Day has already, you know, said that he's going to be Tiger, right?
So. Correct. And once Ian Poulter achieves his potential.
Right, yeah, he's going to be... Adam Scott needs to learn to putt. How about that, Butch? Under pressure. And I like Adam Scott, but I've yet to see him make any pressure putts. So
no.
No, he made one, sorry, at the Players Championship after hitting it in the water.
I just find it, I guess I just don't understand where Butch is coming from. Why would you do this?
Butch is talking up a student.
Yeah, he's just setting up Adam Scott to get the beat down of his life next time he plays Tiger.
Yeah, well, Butch talked up Phil Mickelson last year, too, so we'll see how it goes. I disagree. I think Scott's at the top of a list, but or in the list of good young players, but the top and the only, I don't know.
No.
But you stayed out in the sun a little too much.
Just a wee bit.
That about does it for episode 78 of the Golf Talk Podcast. If you have an opinion on anything we've said today, email us, post it in the forum, stick it up your butt, I don't know, something. Do something with it, because just holding on to it, letting it fester, that's no good.
Yes, we love comments. Matter of fact, we had a few comments from a couple weeks ago. Somebody called us out on the carpet for, I don't even remember what it was. We didn't get something right. We didn't get something right, and then no, a couple of people are listening. So
I said Ernie Els hadn't done anything since Tiger Woods came on the scene, but he had in fact won two majors after Tiger Woods won his first major.
Thank you to our loyal listeners for calling us on the carpet.
That's good. We like that. So yeah, email us at podcast@thesandtrap.com if you'd like. Email us individually or post on the forum. You can find our show notes on our site every Wednesday at thesandtrap.com. And, of course, our forums are at thesandtrap.com/forum. Brown Olson, this is Eric Prozeski saying, I saw grass yesterday.
Wow. I wish I saw. What kind of grass?
It was greenish brown.
Okay.
In my yard, not on TV.
Oh, honestly, I thought you were watching high definition golf yesterday. No grass, but
Go Penguins. Screw Five Below. Go Penguins. See you next week, guys.
See ya.